Welcome to Lugano Peakhurst Uniting Online Church on the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, this 18th of October 2020. I'm Alan Findlay, a member of Lugano Peakhurst Uniting. Later in the service, Pamela is going to read the Bible and Kevin will lead us in prayers for others. For a couple of months, we've been looking at episodes from the Hebrews' Exodus from Egypt. We've seen how Moses met with God at the burning bush. Then we looked at the plagues and the Passover before the Exodus. We followed the crossing of the Red Sea on dry land and saw how the Israelites complained about not having food and water. God gave them 10 rules for loving, and we looked at how the people thought they were abandoned and made an idol, the golden calf. Today I want to ask you, how is your relationship with God? We'll start today with a few verses from Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I invite you now to join me in prayer. Almighty God, we praise your holy name and we praise you for the wonders of your creation. Merciful Lord, we sometimes forget you in the busyness of our daily lives, and we sometimes don't treat you or the people around us as we should. We ask for your Holy Spirit to renew our hearts and our lives as we turn from our wrongdoing and worship you this day. Loving Lord, grant us an understanding of your word this day and help us to renew our commitment to dedicate our lives in service to you. Amen. Let us worship and praise God by singing if you're worshipping alone, or listening if you are with others. Our first song, God of Wonders.
Water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. And God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth.
My name is Pamela, and today there are two Bible readings. The first one is Matthew 22:15-22 from the NIV, paying the imperial tax to Caesar. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius. And he asked them, "Whose image is this and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. The second Bible reading is from Exodus chapter 33 verses 12-23 from the NIV. Moses and the glory of the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favour with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Here endeth the reading.
In our first reading, the Pharisees try to trap Jesus. They remind me of the cartoon character Wile E. Coyote. He's always trying to trap the roadrunner. And the Pharisees never give up either. But Jesus turns the tables on them yet again. This made me wonder, when he says to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's," I asked myself, what is God's? Then the reading from Exodus, when Moses asked to see God's glory, in spite of his long relationship already with God, reminded me that even those in the Bible who had the closest relationships with God have the same doubts that we have and the same longing to develop an even deeper relationship with him. How is your relationship with God going?
With a grateful heart, to give thanks.
message today is titled, How is Your Relationship with God? Years ago, when I was working as a paramedic, we'd just put a patient into our ambulance. We'd started treatment inside the shop, and then we brought him out to the ambulance, and we parked on the main road at the shopping centre. And as I turned around one way to pick up some equipment to carry into the ambulance with me, a woman came up behind me and went up into the back of the ambulance, bent over the patient lying in the stretcher to look at him. I said, excuse me, ma'am, what is your relationship to this gentleman? And she said, I don't know him. Who does that? Some years before, I'd learnt to ask the question about relationship because we'd taken a lady into hospital and I said to the gentleman with her, can you please give some details to the clerks while we take your mother into the emergency ward? And he said, Mother, this is my wife. And that's when an experienced triage sister, a registered nurse, whispered in my ear and said, Alan, learn to ask, what is your relationship to our patient? It's much safer. Relationships. There are many forms of relationships, aren't there? Family relationships, work colleague, friendships, good relationships, bad relationships. And what is a relationship? According to the Oxford English Dictionary, the way in which two or more people or groups or things are connected, or a way in which they regard and behave toward each other. And today I'm checking in with you, how is your relationship with God? The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, begins with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then he went into the temple, God's house, and cleared it out, saying, you've made this into a den of robbers. And while the chief priests and elders challenged his authority, when they went to seize him, they were afraid of the crowds and Jesus' popularity with them. Then, at the end of chapter 21 and in chapter 22 of Matthew, Jesus told three parables, which basically pointed out to the self-righteous Pharisees that sinners who believed would enter the kingdom of God ahead of them. So the Pharisees teamed up with a group called Herodians. The Herodians were a group of people who supported Herod, which meant that they supported the Romans, because the Romans were the ones who allowed Herod his power as a tetrarch or ruler in Galilee. So here's the plot. The Pharisees sent their own disciples to ask Jesus a yes-no question, basically. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? And the answer will either make him a potentially seditious person, an enemy of Rome, if he says that it's not right to pay the tax, or remove his popularity with the people if he answers that it is right. Then the Pharisees could remove him without fearing the crowd's reaction. Jesus very cleverly asks to see the coin that's used to pay the tax. The tax in question was a tax in the Roman Empire which had to be paid by every adult male in the empire except Roman citizens. So basically all the subjugated people. It was deeply resented by the Jewish people, and you may recall Matthew and Zacchaeus used to be tax collectors. They were classed as sinners, or worse than sinners. There's a coin which nowadays is called the Tiberius Tribute Penny, and this is what was used to pay the tax. And I gather that one had to buy this from the tax collectors and then use it to pay the tax. And this is where the tax collectors were able to rip off their own people, which made them hate them even more. It was worth a denarius, or a day's wages, which in terms of our basic wage is about $150, but the average Australian wage in Australia today is $350. When Jesus asked to see the coin, two things stand out. The first, he says out loud, whose image is this and whose inscription? And the image is Tiberius Caesar, and the inscription reads, Caesar Augustus Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus. And what's not being said is that a Jew, and it could have been a Herodian, one of the Pharisees' disciples, or one of the crowd, a Jew had in their possession, in the temple, a graven image, an idol, the image on the coin and the inscription claiming divine status. Either way, Jesus dismissed their question by answering, so give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. I don't know how many times I read this passage before, but when it came to my talking about it today, I thought, what is God's? What belongs to God? In the beginning, God created everything. It's like the joke about the scientists telling God that they could create a man, and God says, all right, show me. So they pull out test tubes and petri dishes and things. And God says, hold on, I made man out of dirt. So a week later, the scientists come back to him and say, yeah, we can do that too. And God says, all right, show me. And when they bend down to scoop up a handful of dirt, God says, no, no, get your own dirt. God created everything. In Genesis 1:27, we read, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we belong to God. Caesar can have his coin with the image, and God wants us in his image. And what does God want from us? Well, not sacrifices. We're told as much in Proverbs, Psalms, Jeremiah, Amos, Micah, Hosea, Matthew, Mark, and a couple of other books as well. The prophet Micah wrote, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Micah 6, verse 8. Everything from the beginning has been for us to be in relationship with God. A few quick examples are in Genesis 3 and Deuteronomy 23, we read of God walking among us. In Leviticus 26, 12, I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. In 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Matthew 6:9, this then is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Acts 17:27, God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. The Bible's full of references to God wanting to redeem us and be in relationship with us. It is what it is all about. But what do we have to do? How do we go about this relationship with God? Well, how do we nurture any relationship? Let's look at something in today's reading from Exodus. It struck me as a bit odd that Moses said, now show me your glory. Hadn't he been on the mountain with God? Hadn't he been talking to God at the tent of meeting? Don't we read in Exodus, a few verses earlier, that he spoke to God face to face? The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend, Exodus 33:11. Well, today's passage tells me something about the relationship between God and Moses. First of all, face to face would be figurative, not literal. When we read through the book of Exodus, that becomes apparent. It means more like one on one. In a commentary I read, it means as equals rather than as master and servant. If we go back to Moses' first encounter with God at the burning bush in Exodus 3 and 4, we'll see that Moses gave God a number of excuses to not lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But God had been preparing Moses all his life. He was brought up in the royal household and he lived basically for years in the desert. And what does Moses ask for in today's reading? In the verses just before this, God said he'd send his angel ahead of the people into the promised land because he was angry with them over the golden calf incident. Moses stands up for his people now, and that's a sign of true leadership. He tells God that it isn't good enough, that God had promised that God would lead them into the promised land. God knew that Moses would have this leadership quality when he chose him, and that's something about relationships, isn't it? We know things about the other person's character. We know things about our spouse or our parent or our child or a colleague or a friend. Then Moses asks for something for himself. He asks to see God. He asks to see God's glory. And I don't think anyone is able to even comprehend what God would look like or his glory. Look at the universe and how each day scientists are learning more and more about outer space and inner space. How do we possibly comprehend what the creator of all this looks like? Let's be honest, when we try to comprehend him in human terms, we give him a human likeness, the proverbial old man with a long white beard. But in spite of not knowing what he looks like, notwithstanding Jesus telling Philip that anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, we read in John 14:9, the point is that Moses wanted to see or know more of God. Together, they'd been through all that went before, but Moses wanted their relationship to be deeper. And isn't this another quality of good relationships? We want to know more about the other. How is your relationship with God going? Do you sometimes feel that God isn't there? Look at the Israelites when they crafted the golden calf. Look at Joseph sold into slavery and later sent into prison in Genesis 37 and 39. Look at David any number of times in his life. But they all put their faith in God. David didn't hold back in his psalms when he railed against God, but he always ended in praise. Sometimes when we feel the Lord is not answering us, it's like people asking, when is this second coming of Jesus that we keep hearing about? Even in the disciples' day, people were asking that. Peter wrote, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And notice here that Peter says repentance plays an integral role in our relationship with God. This is in 2 Peter 3:9. God's eager to establish that relationship. But we have to be willing to recognise and acknowledge and repent of our former ways and determine to seek him. And Paul wrote, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9. Do you want to know the Lord better? Do you spend time with him each day? Or do you sometimes realise that you've let life's difficulties weigh you down and you forget to talk with God? To deepen any relationship, we need to spend time with each other and get to know each other. I read somewhere the other day, and it may have been from the YouVersion Bible app, do you long for a deeper experience with the Lord? We claim the discipline of biblical meditation. We need to spend time in reading the Bible and time in prayer if we want a deeper relationship with God. Remember that Jesus is often described as spending time in prayer. And for help in understanding the Bible or in self-discipline in reading it, there are many reading plans available. Whether in book form or free on the internet or on your smartphone, there are many things which can help us to understand God's Word, and I recommend using one of these. So, how is your relationship with God? And like Moses, do you want it to be even deeper? Amen.
I want to see you. see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Hi, I'm Kevin, and I'm bringing you our prayers for others today. Dear Lord, we come before you to offer you our prayers with the knowledge and belief that you are the creator of all things, with power over all things. We confess and acknowledge that we need your forgiveness for the sins that we commit, and thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ for our salvation, for the gift of the Holy Spirit to support and guide us, and for unconditional love and forgiveness that you show us. Lord, we ask that you continue to empower and encourage our minister, Reverend Ulung Kim, as he leads and guides us through this difficult time during the COVID-19 pandemic. We thank you that you have, through Ulung and our church council, paved a way for us to again meet together in fellowship to have a Sunday worship service, albeit in a limited way. We continue to thank you for the technology and skills and service of the team of people that allow us to continue to have an online worship service available. At a time when the world presses in on us with climate change, natural disasters, a pandemic, economic upheaval, and social, racial, and political tensions, we pray that you will calm and open our hearts and minds to focus on you, to see the many blessings that we personally have received during the week, and to appreciate the continual beauty and wonder of your creation that is all around us. We ask that you continually prompt us to be hopeful and positive. We ask that you reach out to provide guidance and wisdom to those people in positions of leadership and power around the world and in all levels of government here in Australia to make decisions that are in the best interest of all people. We hold in prayer those members of our church who are suffering from or recovering from illness, facing medical procedures, are feeling isolated or lonely, or being anxious about the current situations. We ask that you comfort and strengthen them, especially at this time of need. It is an anxious time for a number of people in our congregation who have family members living and working overseas or interstate, and we pray that you protect those family members and help them maintain contact. We particularly pray for the healing for Matt, Keith and Cheryl's son-in-law, in England, recovering after a stay in hospital. Lord, with a new principal starting at Peakhurst High this term, we pray that you will pave the way for and empower the Scripture Board's SRE teachers to continue to touch the minds and hearts of the students and the other teachers as they have in the past, to bring them into your kingdom. We also pray that you give us the wisdom and the words to speak to our families, neighbours and friends, who may be seeking meaning and comfort in these difficult times, so that they too may experience your love. We pray all these prayers through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, here we are at our final packing day for Operation Christmas Child. 2020 we know has been a very different year, and we've had to adapt and do things in different ways. And that's been the same for Operation Christmas Child. Where we normally would have had one big packing night and we'd have had lots of fun and fellowship together with 30 or more people, this year we've had to do it with just two people each day, and we've had six different packing days. This is our final day today, and we've had just two people each day so that they could, as much as possible, social distance. And then they pack the boxes and then they bring them across to me, and I put in fillers because we want to make sure that the box is comfortably full. And sometimes with just what's here, it doesn't fill the box. We put a card in the box that tells the children where their box has come from. And what I'm saying is I'd like to say to Jan and Dennis, thank you very much for doing them. They've done them for quite a number of years now, and it's quite a big job. I think Jan prints and Dennis laminates and cuts it out, and it makes a really nice card to go on top of our box. I then stack them ready to be taken to the car park. We've been packing in Truscott Hall, and so that means they need to go upstairs, and Dennis and Kevin have been really kind in coming and taking them and packing them into my car. That way I can then take them out to the warehouse each Wednesday. And each week we've been doing just one gender, one age group, and today we'll be doing the 5 to 9 boys boxes. And that, as I say, will be the end of our packing for this year. 75 each day we've packed, which gives us our total of 450. What I'd like is for you to just keep praying for the boxes that will be sent not only from us but worldwide. Pray for safe travel for them because they have to go to many far away places. So safe travel, pray that they'll clear customs with no problems, pray that they will get safely to each child who's going to receive them. And so if you can remember to keep these boxes in your prayers over the next few months, that would be great. This year our boxes are going to go to Cambodia, Fiji, Madagascar and Malawi in Africa. None to the Philippines this year because of COVID. They can't be taken in there. So I think we're ready now to start packing our boxes. And today Lynn and Rona are helping us. Each box is going to have 2 exercise books in them. It's going to have a pencil case which is filled with nice coloured pencils. Many people buy the coloured pencils, but one of the people that buys heaps is Denise, who likes to give the children good quality pencils. So they get coloured pencils, a couple of lead pencils, pens, sharpeners and erasers. Then they'll get a piece of clothing, a t-shirt or shorts or it could be a cap, but I don't think we've got any this year. In each box we try to put a bag so that the children have something to put their things in. And this is just one of the bags that has been sewn. Well, all cut out by Kerry Chapman, but sewn by a few different people, that Kerry has done a lot. And they're just lovely, beautiful material and beautifully made. They then get their face washer with soap wrapped inside it. They'll get a toothbrush. They'll all get a ball, something to play with. They'll get a toy, and today in today's boxes they'll either get a car or they'll get a soccer ball and pump, or the others have all been used. They were either going to get a magnifying glass and a Ninja Turtle. Now, a lot of these, as you all know, are purchased by Susan at rates that we could never even think of buying them at. And thank you to Susan, and thank you to everyone who's helped us to buy them. And then they'll get something to love, and that'll be a soft toy. Also, a few people, but Susan has bought a lot of these. And then we'll give them some fillers. Just to make sure their box is full.
The church has been involved in the recycling program for about 15 months now, and each week the recyclers pick up this blue bin, and give us an empty bin, and so far we've raised around about $1,400 since we started. So all of that goes to the postage for the Samaritan's Purse program.
We now have some announcements to make. To attend Sunday service at 10:15, everyone needs to register with Beryl Bull via the phone or email, which will be appearing on the bottom of the screen. And also, everyone needs to follow the COVID-19 safety action requirements, such as social distancing, sanitising, wearing masks on the way in and out. If you have any questions, please contact our minister, Ilung Kim, or Pamela, whose numbers appear on the bottom of the screen. For those who don't come on Sunday, the service will still be on YouTube and the church website, and the service resource, the worship resource, will still be available as it used to be. We've raised some of the money for our Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. We need $4,500 for postage. We have some of that, but we still need to get some more. And if you're able to help towards the remainder of the postage, could you contact Annette or give donation by direct debit into the account details displayed on the screen, and please mark your donation Christmas Child boxes. This is an end of today's online church, and if you are willing to get connected with us or simply have any questions or inquiries, please contact our minister Ilung Kim via email or phone as it appears at the bottom of the screen. And now the blessing. As you go into the coming week, may you love the Lord your God, your Heavenly Father, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and may your relationship with Him become deeper every day. Thank you for your participation in today's online service. Thank you for all those people who took part in it and who worked behind the scenes. May God bless you and see you safely through the week. See you then. I got no worries, got no worries.